ke isel tontos abtu isikon, imatite abtu katidian epiroton abtonoti.
When Jesus got home and was by himself, his disciples questioned him.
Why could not we drive it out?
This sort of thing can be driven out only by prayer.
And fasting?
By prayer.
Then they left there and were making a trip through Galilee. And Jesus did not want anybody to know it, for now he was teaching his disciples.
The Son of Man is to be turned over into men's hands, and they will kill him. But 3 days after that, he will rise again.
But they did not understand what this statement meant, and they were afraid to ask him. Then they reached Capernaum. When he got home, he questioned them.
What were you discussing on the way home?
But they had nothing to say, for they had discussed with one another which of them was to be the greatest. So Jesus sat down and called the 12 to him.
If anyone wants to be the first, he must be the last of all, and the servant of all.
Then he took a little child and had him stand in the midst of them. Then Jesus took him in his arms and spoke to them.
Whoever, as a disciple of mine, welcomes one little child like this, welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me, welcomes not merely me, but him who sent me.
Teacher, we saw a man using your name to drive out demons, and we tried to stop him, for he was not one of our followers.
Do not try to stop him, John. For there is no one who will use my name to do a mighty deed and then be able soon to abuse me. For whoever is not against us is for us. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, I solemnly say to you, he will not fail to get his reward. And whoever leads one of these lowly believers to do wrong might better have a huge millstone hung around his neck and be thrown into the sea.
What?
Into the sea?
If your hand makes you do wrong, cut it off. You might better go into life maimed than keep both your hands and go down to the pit, to the fire that is never put out. And if your foot makes you do wrong, cut it off. You might better go into life crippled than keep both your feet and be thrown into the pit. And if your eye makes you do wrong, tear it out. You might better go into the kingdom of God with only one eye than keep both your eyes and be thrown into the pit, where the worm that feeds upon them never dies, and the fire is never put out. Everyone must be seasoned with fire. Salt is a good thing, but if salt loses its strength, how can you season it again? You must keep on having salt within you and keep on living in peace with one another.
Then Jesus left there and went through the district of Judea and crossed the Jordan. And crowds of people again met around him, and again he began to teach them as his custom was. Some Pharisees came, and to test him, they began to ask him whether a man should be allowed to divorce his wife.
What has Moses commanded you about it?
Moses allowed a man to divorce his wife if he wrote out a divorce charge.
A letter of divorcement.
It was due to your moral perversity that Moses wrote that command in your law. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Thus a man must leave his father and mother, and he and his wife must become one. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, man must not separate.
On reaching the house, the disciples again asked him about this.
If any man divorces his wife to marry another woman, he commits adultery against his former wife. And if any woman divorces her husband to marry another man, she commits adultery.
And people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to touch them. But the disciples reproved them for it. When Jesus saw it, he was indignant.
Let the little children come to me. Shh! And stop keeping them from it. But as such as these, the kingdom of God belongs. I solemnly say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God as a little child does, will never get into it at all.
Then he took the little children into his arms, and as he laid his hands upon them one by one, he tenderly blessed them. As Jesus was again starting on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt to him.
Good teacher, what must I do to get eternal life?
Why do you call me good? No one is perfectly good but God himself. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Practice honoring your father and mother.
Oh, teacher, I have kept all these commandments ever since I was a child.
Then Jesus looked at him and loved him.
You lack one thing. Go, sell everything you have, and give the money to the poor. And you will have riches in heaven. Then, come back and follow me.
But the man's countenance fell at that command, and he went away in deep distress, for he owned a great deal of property. Then Jesus looked around at his disciples.
How hard it will be for those who have money to get into the kingdom of God.
His disciples were startled at this statement, but Jesus again spoke to them.
My children, how hard it is to get into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to get into the kingdom of God.
They were perfectly dumbfounded.
Then who can be saved?
Can anyone be saved?
This is impossible for men. But everything is possible for God.
We have left everything we had and followed you.
Peter, I solemnly say to you, there is no one who has given up home, or brothers, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or farm, for me and for the good news, who will not receive, now in this life, 100 times as much in houses, and brothers, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and farms. But along with them, persecution. And in the world to come, eternal life. But many who are first now will be last then. And last now will be first then.
As they were walking along the road up to Jerusalem, Jesus was going on ahead of them. But they were dazed, while those who were still following were afraid. Then he again took the 12 aside and began to tell them what was going to befall him.
Listen, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be turned over to the high priests and scribes, and they will sentence him to death, and will turn him over to the heathen, and they will make sport of him, and spit on him, and flog him, and kill him. But 3 days after, he will rise again.
And Zebedee's two sons, James and John, came up to Jesus.
Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask.
What do you want me to do for you?
Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your splendor.
You do not realize what you are asking for. Can you drink the cup that I am drinking? Or endure the baptism of agony that I am to endure?
We can.
Yes. The cup that I am drinking, you will have to drink. And the baptism of agony that I am enduring, you will have to endure. But seats at my right and at my left are not mine to give. But they will be given to those for whom they have been prepared.
When the other 10 heard of it, they were at first very indignant at James and John. Then Jesus called them to him.
Come. Come.
You know that those who are supposed to rule the heathen lord it over them, and their great men rule as despots over them. But this is not to be the case among you. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to hold the first positions among you must be everybody's slave. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom price, to set many free.
Then they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Timaeus' son Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting on the roadside.
Jesus! You son of David!
When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout,
Do pity me!
Many of the people began to rebuke him and tell him to keep quiet, but he kept shouting all the louder.
Son of David, do pity me!
Tell him to come here.
Cheer up! Get up!
He's calling for you!
Bartimaeus threw off his coat and jumped up and went to Jesus.
What do you want me to do for you?
Good teacher, I want to see again.
Go. Your faith has cured you.
And all at once, he could see again and began to follow Jesus along the road. When they were getting near Jerusalem, that is, were at Bethphage and Bethany in front of the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples on ahead.
Go into the village in front of you. And as soon as you get into it, you will find a colt tied, which has never been ridden by a man. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you doing that? Answer, the Lord needs it, and we'll soon send it back here.
So off they went, and found a colt tied outside a door at a street corner. They untied it.
What are you doing? What are you doing untying that colt?
The Lord needs it.
What?
And they answered as Jesus had directed them. And so they let them bring it. They brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their coats over it. And Jesus mounted it. And many of the people spread their coats in the road, while others scattered layers of leaves cut from the fields. Then those in front and those behind him shouted,
Welcome him! Welcome him from on high!
And so Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. After he had looked everything over, as it was already late, he went out with the 12 to Bethany. Next day, while they were walking over from Bethany, Jesus felt hungry. Now in the distance, he saw a fig tree covered with leaves. And he went up to it to see if he might find some figs on it. But when he got to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the time for figs. So he spoke to it.
Never again may anyone eat a fig from you.
And his disciples were listening to this. Then they reached Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out of it those who were buying and selling things in it. Then he upset the money changers' tables and the dove dealers' counters and would not let anybody carry goods through the temple. And he continued teaching.
Does not the scripture say, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations? But you have made it a cave for robbers.
Then the high priests and the scribes heard of this, and they kept looking for some way to destroy Jesus, for they were afraid of him, for everybody was swept off his feet at what he said. So when evening came, Jesus and his disciples used to go out of the city. In the morning, as they were passing along, they noticed that the fig tree was withered, clear down to its roots. And Peter remembered about it.
Look, teacher, the fig tree which you cursed has withered.
Have faith in God. I solemnly say to you, whoever says to this mountain, get up and throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but his faith that what he says will take place, shall have it. So then I tell you, whenever you pray and ask for anything, have faith that it has been granted you, and you will get it. And whenever you stand and pray, if you have anything against anybody, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven too may forgive you your shortcomings.
Then again they went to Jerusalem. And while Jesus was walking about in the temple, the high priests, scribes, and elders came up to him.
What sort of authority have you for doing as you do?
Or who gave you the authority to do as you do?
Let me ask you just one question. And if you answer me, I will tell you what sort of authority I have for doing as I do. Was John's baptism from heaven or from men?
Then, in this way, they argued with one another.
If we say it was from heaven, he will say, then why did you not believe him?
On the other hand, can we say it was from men?
For they were afraid of the people, because everybody thought that John really was a prophet.
We do not know.
Nor am I going to tell you what sort of authority I have for doing as I do.
Then Jesus began to speak to them in stories.
A man once planted a vineyard, and fenced it in, and hewed out a wine vat, and built a watchtower. Then he rented it to tenant farmers, and went abroad. At the proper time, he sent a slave to the tenants to collect his part of the grape crop. But they took him and beat him and sent him back empty-handed. And again, the man sent another slave to them, and they beat his head and treated him shamefully. Then the man sent a third one, and they killed him and many others, some of whom they beat, some they killed. The man had one more to send, his dearly loved son. At last he sent him to them, for he said to himself, they will surely respect my son. But those tenants said among themselves, this is his heir. Come on, let us kill him, and all that is coming to him will be ours. So they took him and killed him and threw his body outside the vineyard. Now, what will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come back and destroy those tenants, and give the vineyard to others. Have you never read this passage of Scripture? That stone which the builders threw away has now become the cornerstone. This is the work of the Lord, and seems wonderful to us.
I'm afraid of the people.
Arrested!
Then they were trying to have him arrested, but they were afraid of the people, for they knew that he aimed this story at them, and so they left him and went away. Then they sent some Pharisees and Herodians to him to trap him in argument, and they came up and spoke to him.
We know that you always tell the truth and pay no personal consideration to anyone, but teach the way of God honestly.
Uh-huh.
Is it right to pay poll tax to Caesar or not?
Should we pay it or should we not?
Now, because Jesus saw their pretense, he answered them.
Why are you testing me so? Bring me a denarius to look at.
And they brought him one.
Whose picture and title is this?
Caesar's.
Pay Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and pay God what belongs to God.
And they were utterly dumbfounded at him. Then some Sadducees, who claimed that there is no resurrection, came up to him.
Moses gave us a law that if a man's brother died, leaving a wife but no child, the man must marry the widow and raise up a family for his brother. There were once seven brothers. The eldest married a wife and on dying left no child, and the second married her and died leaving no child, and so did the third. And not one of the seven left a child. At last the woman died too. Now, at the resurrection, which one's wife will she be? For all seven of them married her.
Does this not prove that you are wrong in your views? Because you do not understand either the Scriptures or the power of God. For when people rise from the dead, men and women are not married, but continue to live together as the angels in heaven do. But as to the rising of the dead, did you never read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the bush, how God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are so mistaken in your perceptions.
Then one of the scribes, on hearing them arguing, came up. And since he saw that Jesus had answered them properly, he asked him,
What sort of command is the first of all commands?
The first one is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, and your whole strength. And this is the second. You must love your neighbor as you do yourself. No other command is greater than these.
Indeed, teacher, you have properly said that God is one by himself, and there is no other but him. But to love him with one's whole heart, one's whole understanding, and one's whole strength, and to love one's neighbor as one loves himself, is far more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices.
And Jesus saw that he had answered thoughtfully.
You are not far from the kingdom of God.
And no one ventured to ask him any more questions, but while he was teaching in the temple, he answered them.
How can the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, said, The Lord has said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand, until I make your enemies the footstool of your feet. David himself called him Lord. So how can he be his son?
Most of the people liked to hear him, and in his teaching he continued to speak out.
Beware of the scribes who like to go about in long robes, to be saluted with honor in public places,
to be seated in the front seats in the synagogues, to occupy the places of honor at banquets, men who eat up widows' houses, and to cover it up, make long prayers. They will get a much heavier sentence.
Then Jesus sat down in front of the collection box and was watching the people as they dropped their money into it. And many rich people were dropping in large sums. Then a poor widow came and dropped in 2 little copper coins, which make scarcely a cent. So Jesus called his disciples to him.
I solemnly say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all these others who've been putting money into the collection box. For all of them put in out of their surplus, but she, in her want, put in all she had. Yes, all she had to live on.
As he was leaving the temple, one of his disciples spoke.
Look, teacher, what stupendous stones with beautiful buildings.
Are you looking in wonder at these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another that will not be torn down.
As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, in a private group, were questioning him.
When will all this take place?
And what will be the sign that it is about to be put into effect?
Look out that no one misleads you about it.
About it?
Many will come bearing the name of Messiah and saying, I am he, and they will mislead many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of war, do not be alarmed. They have to come. But the end is not yet. For one nation will go to war with another, and one kingdom with another. There will be earthquakes in many places. There will be famines. But this is only the beginning of the agonies. So you must be on the lookout for yourselves. They will turn you over to courts and to synagogues where you'll be beaten. And you must appear before governors and kings for my sake to testify to them. But before the end comes, the good news must be proclaimed to all the heathen. Now when they take you to court for trial, do not be worrying beforehand about what you should say, but say whatever is given to you at that time. For it is not you that will be speaking, but the Holy Spirit. One brother will turn another over to death, and a father his child. And children will take a stand against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because you bear my name. But whoever bears up to the end will be saved.
And what will be the sign?
So when you see the destructive desecration standing where he has no right to stand, let he who hears take notice. Then let those who remain in Judea fly to the hills. Let him who is on the roof of his house not go down and go into the house to get anything out of it. Let him who is in the field not turn back to get his coat. Alas for the women who are expectant mothers and those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that it may not be in winter. For there will be such misery at that time as has never been since the beginning of God's creation, and never will be again. If the Lord had not cut those days short, nobody would have escaped. But for the sake of the people chosen as his own, he has cut them short. If anyone says to you at that time, look, here is the Christ, or look, there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will announce themselves, and they will do signs and wonders to mislead, if possible, even God's chosen people. So you must be on your guard. I have warned you about it all beforehand. But in those days after that misery, the sun will turn dark. The moon will not shed its light. The stars will be falling from the sky. And the powers of the sky will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds in overwhelming power and splendor. Then he will send out his angels and gather his chosen people from the four points of the compass,
from one end of the sky to the other.
Now learn what the story of the fig tree means. Just as soon as its branches grow tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is near.
So when you see all these things taking place,
you will know that he is right at the door.
When will all this take place?
I solemnly say to you, the present generation will not pass away before all this takes place. Earth and sky will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son. Not a single one but the Father.
Tell us.
Keep looking. Keep alert.
For you do not know when the time will be. It will be like a man who leaves his home and goes on a journey after he's given orders to his slaves, to each his particular task, and has given orders to the watchman to keep watch. So you must keep alert. For you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, or at midnight, or at daybreak, or early in the morning, so that he may not come unexpectedly and find you asleep. And so what I say to you, I say to everyone, keep alert.
Now the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread was 2 days later. So the high priests and scribes kept looking for some way to arrest Jesus by stratagem and have him put to death.
Not on the holy day.
It must not be at the feast, for there might be a riot.
While Jesus was in Bethany, he was a guest in the home of Simon the leper. And as he was sitting at table, a woman came in with an alabaster bottle of pure nard perfume, very costly. She broke the bottle and poured the perfume on his head. But some of the guests were indignantly saying to themselves,
"Why make such a waste of the perfume?
It might have been sold for more than 100 denarii, and
the money have been given to the poor."
So they kept on grumbling at her.
Waste of the perfume? This could have been sold for...
Why do you embarrass her? Let her alone. She's done a good deed to me. For you always have the poor among you, and whenever you please you can do them good. But you will not always have me. She has done all she could. She has beforehand perfumed my body for my burial. I solemnly say to you, all over the world, wherever this good news is proclaimed, the deed that she has done will also be told in memory of her.
Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the high priests to betray him to them. They were delighted to hear it and promised to pay him for it. So he kept looking for a good opportunity to betray him to them. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the usual time for killing the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him,
"Where do you want us to go and get the Passover supper ready for you to eat?"
"Go into the city, and you will meet a man carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him, and whatever house he goes into, tell the owner that the teacher asks, 'Where is my room where I may eat the Passover supper with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upstairs room, furnished and ready. Get everything ready for us there."
So off the disciples went. They reached the city, found everything just as he had told them, and they got the Passover supper ready. When evening came, he went with the 12. And while they were sitting at table and eating, Jesus spoke.
"I solemnly say to you, one of you who is now eating with me is going to betray me."
And one by one, they began to show that they were hurt.
"Is it I?"
"Not I."
"It cannot be I, can it?"
"It is one of the 12, the one who is dipping his bread in the dish with me. For the Son of Man is going away, as the scriptures say of him, but a curse will be on that man by whom he is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had never been born.
While they were eating, he took a loaf and blessed it, and broke it in pieces, and gave it to them.
Take this. It is my body.
And he also took the cup of wine and gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank some of it.
This is my blood, which ratifies the covenant, the blood which is to be poured out for many. I solemnly say to you, I will never again drink the product of the vine till the day I drink the new wine in the kingdom of God.
Lolanu Adonai Lolanu Kireshim Chochten Kabod Achatz Nitcha Alamit Nitcha Lama Yom Aru Hagoyim Hayen Arayim.
After singing a hymn, they went out of the city and up the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus spoke to them.
Tonight, all of you will fall away from me. For the scripture says, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised from the dead, I will go back to Galilee to meet you.
Although all the rest of them fall away, yet I will never do so myself.
Peter, I solemnly say to you, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you, yes, you, will disown me three times.
Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you.
Not I.
I will not deny you.
I never will.
And they all kept saying the same thing. Then they came to the place called Gethsemane.
Sit down, here, while I pray.
And he took Peter, James, and John along with him. And he began to feel completely dazed and to realize his anguish of heart.
My heart is breaking. It almost kills me. You must stay here and keep watching.
Then he walked on a few steps and threw himself upon the ground and kept praying that, if it were possible, he might escape the hour of agony.
Abba, Father, anything is possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Yet, I pray, not what I want, but what you want.
And he went back and found them asleep.
Simon!
Huh?
Are you asleep? Could you not watch a single hour? You must all keep watching and praying.
Rabbi!
That you may not be exposed to temptation. Man's spirit is willing.
Rabbi!
But human nature is weak.
He went away again and prayed in the same words. When he went back again, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were so heavy they could hardly hold them open, and they did not know what answer to make him.
Rabbi!
He came back the third time and spoke to them.
Are you still sleeping and resting?
Rabbi!
No more of that. The hour has come.
Rabbi!
See? The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinful men.
Get up.
Let us be going.
Look. Here comes my betrayer.
Rabbi?
At that very moment, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, came up, and with him a crowd of men with swords and clubs from the high priest, scribes, and elders. Now his betrayer had given them a signal, saying, "The one I kiss is he. Seize him and lead him safely away." So when he came, he went straight up to Jesus.
"Rabbi."
And with much affection, kissed him.
Seize him!
Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of the bystanders drew his sword and struck at the high priest's slave and cut his ear off.
"Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a robber?"
"Day after day I used to be with you, teaching in the temple, and you never laid hands on me. But this is so to fulfill the scriptures."
Then all his disciples forsook him and made their escape. And a young man was following Jesus with only a linen sheet thrown about his body. And they seized him, but he left the linen sheet behind and fled away naked. They took Jesus away to the high priest, and all the high priests, elders, and scribes met there.
Ο Πέτρος απομακρώτην οικολούθησεν αυτό, έως έσω ίστιν αυτό.
And Peter followed him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. He was sitting with the attendants and warming himself before the fire. The high priests and the whole council were trying to get evidence against Jesus to put him to death, but they could find none. For although many men gave false testimony against him, their testimonies did not agree. Some took the witness stand and gave this false testimony against him.
"We have heard him ourselves say, 'I will tear down this temple, built by men's hands.'
And in 3 days I will build another, made without hands." Without hands.
But even in this matter, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest arose in the midst and questioned Jesus.
"Have you no answer to make? What about this testimony they are giving against you?"
But he kept silent and made no answer at all. So the high priest again questioned him in these words.
"Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?"
"Yes, I am. And you will all see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the Almighty, and coming in the clouds of the sky."
Then the high priest tore his clothes.
"What more evidence do we need now? Did you hear? His own blasphemy. What do you think now?"
And they all condemned him as deserving to die. And some of them started to spit on him, and to blindfold him, and to hit him with their fists.
"Now play the prophet."
Even the attendants took charge of Jesus with slaps at him. While Peter was down in the courtyard, one of the high priest's waiting girls came up. And when she saw that Peter was warming himself, she looked at him.
"You. You were with Jesus of Nazareth too."
I do not know or understand what you mean.
Then he went out of the courtyard and was in the gateway to it. And the waiting girl saw him there and began again to tell the bystanders.
But this fellow is one of them.
But he denied it again. And again, a few minutes later, the bystanders began to speak to Peter.
You are surely one of them, for I do not know this man.
You are a Galilean, too.
I do not know this man that you are talking about.
At that moment, for the second time, a cock crowed. Then, Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him.
Before the cock crows twice, you will disown me three times.
And when he remembered that, he burst into tears. As soon as it was daylight, the high priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes, and the whole council, after binding Jesus, took him away and turned him over to Pilate. Then Pilate questioned him.
Tu est rex Judaeorum? You are the king of the Jews?
Yes.
And the high priest kept piling up accusations against him. So again, Pilate questioned him.
Non respondes, quick one. Have you no answer to make? Just see how many charges they are making against you.
But Jesus made no further answer at all, so that Pilate was astonished. Now at the time of the feast, Pilate usually set a prisoner free whom the people requested. There was in prison a man named Barabbas, among some revolutionaries who in their uprising had committed murder. So a crowd of people came up and started to request of the governor the usual favor. Then Pilate answered them by asking,
"Do you want me to set the king of the Jews free for you?"
But the high priest stirred up the crowd to get him to set Barabbas free for them instead. Then Pilate again spoke to them.
What then do you want me to do to the man whom you call king of the Jews? Quid animali fecit? What has he done? What has he done? That is wrong!
So, as Pilate wanted to satisfy the crowd, he set Barabbas free for them. But after having Jesus flogged, he turned him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led Jesus away to a place inside the courtyard, that is, of the governor's palace, and they called the whole battalion together.
Convocate! Tota cohorts!
Then they dressed Jesus in a purple robe, made a crown of thorns and crowned him with it. And they began to shout at him. All hail, you King of the Jews. And they kept hitting him on the head with a stick and kept spitting on him. And on bending knees, they kept doing him homage. When they had finished making sport of him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out of the city to crucify him. They forced a certain passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. Simon, a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus. And they led him to Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. They offered him wine flavored with myrrh.
Vive. Muratum vinum.
But he would not take it. Then they crucified him. And they divided among them his clothes by drawing lots for them to see which piece each of them should have.
Divisate vestimenta eius.
It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. And the notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 robbers along with him, one at his right and one at his left. And the passers-by kept hissing at him, shaking their heads.
"You're the man who would tear down the temple and build another in 3 days.
Now save yourself by coming down from the cross."
The high priests, too, made sport of him, to one another with the scribes.
"He saved others.
But he cannot save himself, huh?
Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, so that we may see it and believe."
Even the men who were crucified with him made sport of him.
"Save yourself, King of Israel!"
"He cannot save himself."
At 12 o'clock, darkness covered the whole land and lasted until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice,
"Eloi! Eloi! Lama sabachthani?"
Which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of the bystanders heard him.
"Listen, Eloi, he is calling for Elijah."
"Eloi."
So one man ran and soaked a sponge in vinegar, Eloi, and put it on a stick and held it up to him to drink.
"Wait, wait. Let us see whether Elijah does come to take him down."
But Jesus gave a loud cry. And expired. And the curtain of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the captain who stood facing him saw that he expired in this way, he answered,
"Vere, homo hic filius Dei erat."
This man was surely God's son. Now several women were there looking on from a distance. Among them, Mary of Magdala, Mary, the mother of the younger James and of Joseph, and Salome, who used to accompany Jesus when he was in Galilee, besides several other women who had come up to Jerusalem with him. Now night was already falling. Because it was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a highly honored member of the council who was himself looking for the kingdom of God, ventured to go to Pilate and ask for Jesus' body. Pilate wondered whether Jesus was dead yet, and calling the captain to him, asked whether he was already dead. But when he found out from the captain that he was, he gave Joseph permission to take Jesus' body. So Joseph bought a linen sheet, then took him down from the cross, wrapped him in the linen sheet, and laid him in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock, and rolled a boulder up to the doorway of the tomb. And Mary of Magdala and Mary, Joseph's mother, were looking on to see where he was put. When the Sabbath had ended, Mary of Magdala, Mary, James's mother, and Salome bought spices to go and anoint him. It was very early, just after the sun had risen on the first day of the week, when they went to the tomb.
Who will roll the boulder back from the doorway of the tomb for us?
Then they looked up and saw that the boulder had already been rolled to one side, for it was a very large one. And when they went into the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting at the right, and they were utterly astonished.
You mustn't be so astounded. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified? He has risen. He's not here. See? Here's the spot where they laid him. But you go and tell his disciples and Peter, he is going back to Galilee to meet you. You will see him there, just as he told you.
Then they left the tomb and fled, for they were trembling and bewildered, and they did not tell anybody a single thing about it, for they were afraid to do so. Now after he had risen, early on the first day of the week, Jesus appeared first to Mary of Magdala, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went out and told it to his disciples while they were mourning and weeping. But although they had heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After this, he showed himself in a different form to two of them as they were walking along on their way into the country. Then they went back and told the rest, but they would not believe them either. Later on, he appeared to the 11 themselves while they were at table. And he reproved them for their lack of faith and their stubbornness, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead.
You must go all over the world and preach the good news to all the creation. He who believes it and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe it will be condemned. And the following signs will attend those who believe. By using my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take snakes in their hands. Even if they drink anything poisonous, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will get well.
So the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was caught up into heaven and took his seat at God's right hand. Then they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord kept on working with them and confirming their message by the signs that attended it.
Te exaltuse, Ephigon, apotumnimiu, ichen garaptas tromos ke ekstasis, ke udeniu denipan, Εφοβούντο γαρ.
This has been a graphic audio production of the Gospel of Mark. Production copyright 2010, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Translated from the original Greek by Charles B. Williams, The Williams New Testament, copyright 1995 by Charlotte Williams Sprawls. All rights reserved. It was narrated by Mort Shelby and featured Richard Rowan, Terence Aselford, Nanette Savard, Ken Jackson, Dylan Lynch, Colleen Delaney, Thomas Penny, Scott McCormick, James Konacek, Tim Getman, Michael Glenn, James Lewis, Danny Gavigan, David Coyne, Andy Clements, Stephen Carpenter, Laura Quinn Anderson, Casey Platt, Jonathan Watkins, Peter Stray, Elizabeth Jernigan, M.B. Van Dorn, Christopher Graybill, Jeff Baker, Tom Simpson, and Joe Brack. Directed by Richard Rowan and James Cutting. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Chris Rowan. Adapted for graphic audio by James Cutting from a translation by Charles B. Williams. Original music by Dan Smith. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers, James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. For more information about graphic audio, visit our website at www.graphicaudio.net or call 1-800-670-5220.
Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.